to continue in freedom and in full of the Holy Spirit. But the subtle change caused them to forget about the grace of God. In other words, to forget that God loved them unconditionally. So when we forget this, we say, yeah, we know that Jesus died on the cross for us. But we need to do a few extra things to really deserve God's love. So in that context, in those, it was extra Jewish religion things. So they were saying, yeah, Jesus is the way to salvation. But of course, Jesus was a Jew, and salvation came through the Jews, and therefore we need to still obey the Jewish laws about food and get circumcised and observe all these things. And when you add anything to Jesus, it always takes away. Jesus plus anything equals nothing. And he says, you're relying on your own works. So of course we're not going to be tempted in this context to add things like we've got to not eat pork or bacon. Hallelujah. I can see you are relieved that we don't have to remove bacon or get circumcised. Very relieved as well. So we're not going to fall into that trap. But we get sucked into other traps. So you have to read your Bible. You have to pray. You have to go to church on Sunday. They're all good things. Yeah? And it'd be really good if you did all those things. But if you don't do those things, you're still just as saved. Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. And there's no finishing off that we need to add. Well, I will say, it's really good if you read your Bible, pray, and come to church on Sunday. That will benefit you, but it won't save you anymore. So if we're putting our faith in those things, and it is common for us, and we call it legalism. Often it's called, you hear that, people say that, it's legalistic. You've got to do these things. You don't got to read your Bible. You get to read your Bible. Because God has cleansed you and saved you and brought you into his kingdom, why would you not want to read his love letter to you? Out of love, not out of duty. Now, of course, there is discipline, as we've heard. You know, the other day, I sat down to read my Bible and pray, and what I thought was, I have no desire or faith to read my Bible or pray today. So it had to be a bit of discipline. Actually, what I did was I did pray in tongues for a while, and that really changed things. But it's not a got to, it's you get to read the Bible, and it's not even if I feel like it. It's because there is a desire, and sometimes there's discipline that we need that. So don't get what is gonna happen in our context is that we get trapped into Christian laws that we feel we have to fulfill that God will love us. Anybody been there? We'll read the same passage from the Message version. This is very rare for me. I don't really like the Message version, but this is really good an example of it. So he puts it really well. Let me put this question to you. How did your new life begin? Was it by working your heads off to please God? Or was it by responding to God's message to you? Are you going to continue this craziness? But only crazy people would think they could complete by their own efforts what was begun by God. If you weren't smart enough or strong enough to begin it, how do you suppose you could perfect it? Did you go through this whole painful learning process for nothing? It is not yet a total loss, but certainly will be if you keep this up. Answer this question. Does God, who lavishly provides you with his own presence, his Holy Spirit, working things in your lives you could never do for yourselves, does he do these things because of your strenuous moral striving or because you trust him to do them in you? He's saying, did you receive the Holy Spirit because you did something? or that you stop doing something. No, it's because you put your faith in the finished work of Jesus. So initially receive the Holy Spirit by believing. Why would you think that growing in the Holy Spirit would be achieved in any other way? So yes, Jesus said it's finished and the work's done. But there's still work in us. And that work in us to make us more full of the Holy Spirit and more like Jesus, to fill every room of our lives with His Holy Spirit, carries on in the same way that we started, by putting our trust in the finished work of God to come. We gain power of the Holy Spirit to continue in Christ by continuing to look to the gospel that He's done it all. The work of Jesus releases us from the law or from the self-effort to gain approval from Him. But when we feel we have to do something for God's approval, what happens if we lose our joy? Because guess what? We always fail. And we're always, and then you get in this cycle. I think most Christians have been here. You feel you've kind of failed. And you know what? You're right. And so what you decide is that I'm going to really try much harder this week. So from tomorrow, instead of reading a chapter of the Bible every day, I'm going to read two. Guess what? By Wednesday, you're five chapters behind, whereas before you would have been only three. And so you double it and you keep going, and you fail again. You get into this cycle trying to please God, where we need to just say, I know that God is pleased with me because of Jesus, and I put my trust in Jesus. And out of that flows joy and desire to be with God. What I'm saying is, we need to learn to enjoy God. And my aim of this is that you continue to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Does God work His Spirit in you? Yes, He does. Because we continually look back to the finished work of Christ and put our trust in Him. Okay, the other verses I want to is from Galatians chapter 4. It's a very similar, really. Kind of a different way of looking at it. So Paul writes this: think of it this way. If a father dies and leaves an inheritance for his young children, those children are not much better off than slaves until they grow up, even though they actually own everything their father had. They have to obey their guardians until they reach whatever age their father set. And that's the way it was with us before Christ came. We were like children. We were slaves to the basic spiritual principles of this world. That sounds all a bit depressing. I think you've gone ahead. Oh, no. Okay, I might have done the slide wrong. Okay, listen to what I'm saying, because I've missed a slide. Verse 4. But when the right time came, God sent His Son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent Him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that He could adopt us as His very own children. Now we're back in. And because we are His children, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are His child, God has made you His heir. So it's kind of a similar thing to the previous, but in a different way. He's explaining it. He's saying that in the Old Testament, they were slaves to the law, but the law was there to lead them to Christ. But Christ came. In the right time, God sent His Son to buy freedom for us that were slaves, so He could adopt us as His very own children. And because we are His children, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. Why do we receive the Holy Spirit? Because we are His children. Because we're His children. Not because we fulfill the law. because we're his children. As I say, freedom is a big theme of Galatians. And here, he in chapter 2, he contrasts slaves and freedom. Here he contrasts slave with children. In a Roman household, there would have been, a middle-class household, there would have been children and slaves. And he's saying, we're not the slaves, we're the children. He's reminding us of that. We're not slaves. Why does he remind us of that? Because we forget. We forget. There's a story that Jesus told. Story of a man with two sons. You may have heard of it. And the younger son says to the father, can I have my inheritance? And what his father does, he takes what he has and he divides it between the two sons, the older son and the younger son. And the younger son decides that his way of getting freedom is to take all that and go off. Interesting, this story, because it seems that this father was, you know the story, don't you? It seems that this father is a good father. It's a good household. The father has slaves as well. But he's, at one time, the son that's gone away says, even the servants in my father's house have enough to eat. He treats them well. He feeds them well. He's got two sons that he loves. And yet, even in that, both sons have a twisted idea of sonship and their father. Do you know, it's true. With all of us, even if we grew up in a really good family, we can have wrong ideas of fatherhood. And the older son is interesting. His idea was, when the father celebrated that the younger son had come home, the younger son said, all these years I have worked to you like, he said to the father, all these years I have worked for you as a slave and you never gave me anything. And that's sometimes our mentality, that when God has freed us, we don't live in the freedom, we feel that we just have to keep trying to earn God's favor. Anybody ever felt like that? I have. What the son said was completely wrong, because at the beginning of the story, the father said, it took all he had and divided it between both sons. So the son, the older son, who said, you gave me nothing, missed the whole point. God, the father, gave him half of everything he had. And the father says, you are always with me. Everything I have is yours. Everything I have is yours. And that is our position in God. In Christ with our Father, God, because he's put his Spirit in us, has made us heirs with Christ. God has placed everything under his feet for the church. Everything that God has given into Jesus' name, into his hands, Jesus shares with us. Don't think anybody noticed. God has given us everything. And yet we live sometimes like slaves. Because we are children, he sends us the Holy Spirit into our hearts. And the aim again, just like the first one, is that I want us to live full of the Holy Spirit. And two things that get in the way, they're very similar, really, is this idea that we have to do something more to receive the Holy Spirit. No, we don't have to do anything more to receive the Holy Spirit. We receive the Holy Spirit so we can do some more. Not that we have to earn it. But the gospel gets distorted. Jesus said, it's finished. But when we know that we can come to God and say, fill me afresh with the Spirit, Father, because I'm your child, son or daughter, we can freely receive. When we can say, fill me because Jesus completed the work, then we can have faith. The ground on which we stand before God to ask Him for more of the Holy Spirit is this: faith in the finished work of Christ, and that we are sons and daughters of our good Father. Jesus said, which of you, being evil, know how, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much will our Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who deserve it? Did you spot the deliberate error? He didn't say that. He didn't say he would give the Holy Spirit to those who deserve it. He said he would give Holy Spirit to those who ask. God is not like us as parents, where when our children ask, we kind of sometimes think they don't deserve it. Well, guess what? We don't deserve it either when we ask God. If we had to deserve anything from God, or even our parents, we would never get anything. But we don't. We receive because Jesus deserves it. Jesus deserved it. And we said, I've got this check from Jesus. I'm sorry, check. I think you're all old enough to remember checks. Most of you are old enough to remember checks, but that's what we used to have. A piece of paper written, give this person this money. But we, Jesus has signed our check saying, Father, give your son, my brother, Holy Spirit, because I deserve it, because Jesus deserves it. So I want us to be free, because there is a gospel that isn't a gospel that goes around, that adds stuff. That's how you receive the Holy Spirit. You receive the Holy Spirit by believing in the finished work of Jesus. So, I want to go back and ask a question again. Does God give the Holy Spirit and work miracles among you because you obey the law? So why is it? Because we believe the gospel. If I simplify the question, does God give you the Holy Spirit and work miracles among you? I'd have to say, in Hereford, I'd have to say, yes, but not so many miracles as we'd like. So, would anybody like to see more miracles and more work of the Holy Spirit? To receive more of the power of the Holy Spirit? Okay. Is there anything stopping that? Just look, just don't think too deep. Think about what I've just preached. I could see you going, What you're thinking then is there more that, is there something I've not done, or is there something I should have done? No. It doesn't depend on what you've done or what you've not done. Have you believed the gospel? Is there anything to stop us receiving the Holy Spirit? No. It doesn't make us complete. It just means that God is good. God is good. So shall we pray to receive more of the Holy Spirit? So I'm going to pray. If you're going to stand together, let's pray. And not only do we receive the Holy Spirit, he works miracles amongst us. And it says in Hebrews, he testifies by miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit. So I want you to pray, I want you to ask, to receive more of the Holy Spirit, and to ask God for gifts of the Holy Spirit. If you want to receive the gift of tongues, then you can. I think when Jason said we're going to pray, we're going to have time in ministry anyway. We normally pray for you, pray for different things, but start to ask God for your to be filled afresh with the Holy Spirit. Remember, you stand because the finished work of Jesus and because you are his children. Father, I pray for everyone here that you fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit. You fill us afresh. Thank you, Jesus. You said it's finished and we put our faith in you. Thank you, Father, that we are children and you promise to send the Spirit of your Son into our hearts. Father, I pray that you would break every stronghold in our minds that says, I don't know whether I'm ready, because that's not from you. You are a generous and good Father. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us afresh. I felt God speak to me earlier, and a word for you, Paul. I didn't want to share it because it starts off, sounds a bit scary, but it's not. I had a picture of a house in at night, and outside the house was some kind of ferocious fat hound that wanted to get in, but it couldn't get in because the house was marked like at the Passover, the blood was on the door. And so your house, which means not just the physical house, but it's your family, your household, was marked and it couldn't get in. And actually, it wasn't, you weren't cowering inside, thinking, oh, wonder whether it could get in. You were at I could hear like there was a party going on. And you were completely unaware that the enemy was trying to get in. And there was a time in your life when the enemy marked you for his purpose and his will. But you became a Christian and you were cleansed of all the marks that you've won. And he marked you with the Holy Spirit. And you and your household were saved, were safe under the blood of Jesus. Father, I want to pray that this truth, that this household, this family is marked by the seal of the Holy Spirit and is safe from the evil one, would be just so deep in Paul's heart, in Jesus' name, that he would rest in you, be at peace in his household, in Jesus' name. Amen. Before the meeting, we were praying, and Adriana was praying, and she said, we want to see healing, we want to see salvation, so we're going to pray for healing. So I want you to just ask God. There's a thing called a word of knowledge, that we call a word of knowledge, where God reveals what he wants to heal. So I want you to just ask God, is there something in somebody here that you want to heal? And then let us know, and then we'll pray for that. So ask God now to reveal what he wants to do. We've asked for his Spirit, we've asked for his gifts. He's good. when you ask God to reveal something like this, I find it helpful to overthink it. God, put, if something comes in your mind, do you know what? If you're 10% sure, I'd go with it. Unless it's a kind of a really embarrassing thing. But it, you know, with gifts of the Spirit, we have to step out in faith. And we're not always like 100% sure. Very rarely. So if you feel God's put something in your mind, your heart, then could you share that? Okay, let's pray for Carol. A few people. Let's pray for Carol. Yeah, there was also a word about Jesus calming the storm and bringing peace. So we pray for peace, Lord. And yeah. Did anybody else feel they had a words? Okay. No, just before we, I know there's some praying to do. The 12 disciples, they had the most amazing 3 years of teaching from Jesus, teaching of truth, practical lessons, and observation of healing and miracles, and they did all that. And then when Jesus died and rose again, he's, despite all that training, he said, wait for the Holy Spirit. And they knew they had to receive the Holy Spirit. And we don't need to wait anymore, but we do need to understand that it's not techniques, it's not, it's a, we need as well to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so my aim of what I'm sharing today is to just build the faith that we are already in a position to receive the Holy Spirit, to ask, because we're children, because of the finished work of Jesus, and to remind us that every day to ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you speak in tongues, pray in tongues to build yourself up. And yeah, we're going to, there's some ministry from earlier to do, but if you want to just receive prayer, you know, you can ask God for the Holy Spirit, but if you want to be prayed for, then we can pray for another. Yeah. Back to Jason.
Amen. Can we just say thanks?